All right, so I want to discuss, the next topic I want to discuss is Bechir Chashis. Right, do we have free will or not? It's a very, very famous, somewhat lopsided machlokas. But before we even look at any makoros, I have a very simple question. Why should you think we do or don't have free will? Anyone who thinks we do or don't have free will, raise your hand. Either way, Ruth, what do you think?
We do.
Okay, what makes you think that we do?
Otherwise, what would we do in this world? It'd be pretty boring, like
Schar Va'Onesh. Okay, that's a good one, right? Schar Va'Onesh. Schar Va'Onesh is a classic kinda for free will, because obviously Hashem has to be just, and it's not fair of Hashem to punish us, or reward we would take. But it's not fair of Hashem to punish us. It's not really fair to reward either if we don't have free will. That's a good time. Anyone have any other timeness for free will?
Feels like we have free will.
Exactly. Right? We feel like we have free will. Like, I know that I can decide what to do. That's a valid timeness. It doesn't have to be a Jewish timeness. Any other timeness?
The Nevi'im gave us one of mustard.
Ah, okay. Excellent. How about the Torah Unaviyah, right? They gave us a lot of mussar, they told us what to do. Like, if we don't have free will, then it's pretty dumb for Hashem to send us the Viyam and say, oh, well, you better improve your way, it's not up to us anyway. What's the point of all this if we don't have free will? Good time is, any other time is why we, and that's the Torah. The Torah says, the Bacharta Bachayim, right? What do you mean Bacharta Bachayim? How am I supposed to choose? Hashem's wasting his breath. Obviously, Hashem can't waste his breath because he's perfect. So therefore, it must be that we have free will. Any other times?
I saw in this footnote that he said that Samuel here means that we can be both there, just like Hashem.
Okay, but that's one part. I don't know if that necessarily proves anything. That's one time. If he held we didn't have free will, he would say Samuel here means something else. It means we can think logically or something. These are all good times. I would just add one taina, which is, these are the main tainas, I think, for free will, the main, posh of common sense free will. I would add one more taina, which is mucker number one. Vamram Chanina, everyone is famous Gorm Brach, the Kovid Shemaim Chutz mi Yer Shemaim, Shenem, I've told you so much, I'm like, Shomim, Achi, Im, Li Yera. Right? So it's a foolish Gemara, Kovid Shemaim Chutz mi Yer Shemaim. So if it's, it's not just like a deal, it seems to be a foolish Gemara, that says, Hakobi de Shemayim, Chutz mi Yer Shemayim, that Yer Shemayim is up to us. What does Yer Shemayim mean? It means that Yer Shemayim doesn't just mean Yer Shemayim as opposed to the 613 mitzvahs. Those are all part of Yer Shemayim. So it means all the important decisions we make are not up to Hashem or up to us. So that seems to prove that we have free will, which is why most Jewish philosophers throughout the Doros held we have free will because of all these good tainas, and probably mostly because, like, tainas are tainas, but it's a mafurish gemara. Mafurish is always better than a taina that says, that seems to say that we have free will. Right, so that definitely goes back to Bachar Bachai and put it, especially in the Torah. The biggest muster is choose life. How can Hashem tell us to choose if we can't choose? That's also pretty mafurish. Is there another side? What are the arguments against? Are there any reasons we should think we don't have free will? A lot of people throughout the generations have thought we don't have free will in the world.
Hashem knows.
So one very classic taina is, right, Hashem knows everything, and especially when does he know everything?
Before it happens,
right? So divine, you could call it omniscience, right? Omniscience is not such a scary word. Science just means knowing. That's what science really means. Omni means everything. And so divine omniscience, Hashem knows everything, or you could foreknowledge, right? Hashem knows everything before it happens. So the classic Hasha, classic time. If Hashem knows what we're going to do before we do it, then obviously we can't have free will, because Hashem already knew what we would do. Okay, any other timeness? Why we might not have free will?
Newtonian physics.
Okay, excellent. Meaning this, Lovdok and Newton. Meaning if it wouldn't be Newton, it would be the same thing. The point is exactly.
Well, not quantum.
Scientific, good, cause and effect. Meaning, there are laws of science. Science is based on cause and effect. Everything is caused by something else. Everything is caused by something else. Ultimately, our brains are just big, fancy machines. And therefore, everything that happens by the basic law of science, right? Everyone thinks laws of science are like physics and things aside. There's one basic law of science, which is cause and effect. Everything really hinges on that philosophically. You know, but all the details are just hypotheses. But if there's cause and effect, that means we don't have free will. And you would ask most scientists nowadays don't believe in free will. Why do most scientists nowadays not believe in free will? Not because they're worried about God knowing, you know, since Hashem knew yesterday whether you put on tefillin, therefore you didn't have free choice today. Most scientists are like, because your brains are biological machines, there are molecules inside, and when you're thinking, it's just molecules moving around, and those molecules have laws that tell them when to move around. And obviously, it's horrendously complicated. You know, it's hard to figure it out. Psychologists haven't really figured out what you're going to do tomorrow yet. But ultimately, Ikaron, there's laws of cause and effect. Okay, anyone have any, there's one more famous taina against free will?
Maybe I'm just trying to harass you. We can't lift your hand without
Hashem. Okay, Gevaldik. So, those psukim are not quite as mafurish as you're claiming. That's probably why you're not bothering to quote them. But, you know, maybe late Malachim beyond Hashem or something. I don't know if they're really psukim that say, like, everything you... But the whole point of, let's call it divine omnipotence, right? Also, not a scary word, omni, everything potent just means powerful. Yeah, I mean, Hashem runs the whole world. Hashem is all-powerful. So if Hashem does everything and runs everything, then I can't run anything, right? That's fairly poshut. So if Hashem has all the power and runs the whole world, then what's left for me? Okay, these are the classic tainas. Now let us sort of jump into things a little. Let's start with, as you know, in Judaism, this has been a very lopsided machlokas over the Doros. You know, I don't know what people thought before the time of the Gemara of Chazal, because we don't have written records other than Tanakh. But clearly, for as far back as we know in Jewish history, it's been pretty lopsided, and most people, probably because of the Goran Brachos and maybe some other reasons, have held we do our free will. But it's not a double question. If you read the Rambam, you'll see some very interesting history. Famous Rambam, the Rambam's, as it were, his like ode to free will is El Shuv Perkei Aleph. Rishus Chavon Mesunim Rotz LaHatzas LeRachov LiYosadik Rishus VYado Vim Rotz LaHatzas LeRachov LiYos Rasha Rishus VYado Who Shigaz B'Torah Heino Dama Yakachad Min Elo Das Tov Ra Kolomer Hein Minza Shal Dama Yachav Olam Ve'im Min Sheni Doma Lo Bezeh Heino Shihu Me Atzol V'Daito V'Achshavti Yodea Tov Ra Ve'Osa Kamashu Chafet Ve'im Mishi Yakav Yadim Las Tov Ra Ve'Kim Shikenu Pan Yishlof VYado. Right, that's how the Rambam reads the idea that Hashem says that Adam is Das Tovara means people are the only things besides Hashem that can choose on their own, right? Cows and dogs and pigs are totally controlled by the laws of nature and by Hashem. But people have bechira chafshes. Okay. Beis. Al yavor b'machshav t'cha dover zesh omrim tipshe umos olam. Don't believe what the stupid goyim think, right? In the days of the Rambam, all the goyim that the Rambam talked about were Muslims, right? I mean, Christians lived like on, you know, too far away from to really care about. And there were two groups of Muslims in those days. There were the Asherites and the Mutazilites. And the Asherites didn't hold from free will. The Asherites held that real Avodas Hashem means to know that Hashem runs everything. And that means that you have no free will, Hashem. You're just a puppet in the hands of Hashem. It says, don't believe what those stupid Asherite Muslims think. V'rov golmei b'nei Yisrael. And most of the golems are the Jews. Right? Now, what does golem mean? Again, one of the sort of problems in understanding meaning of words that when we think of golem, we think of the Maharal of Prague. And besides that, that is a history problem. The historians have written that there are actually very strong mesoras from Gedolim that various big Gedolim and Kabbalim in the past couple hundred years have made golems. But there's actually no mesora the Maharal made a golem. Besides whether or not the Maharal made a golem, what? Right, just a novel. It's actually funny. They're like, yeah, there are plenty of people from around the time of the Maharal. We have Masoras and books published hundreds of years ago by Big Talmud Chacham that say they made a golem. But no one until 100 years ago, when they started writing fiction books, thought the Maharal made a golem. But that's a side problem. Problem is that, you know, when you think of golem, you think of like Frankenstein. But in Chazal, that's not what golem means. Golem means an unfinished product. And when Chazal say, oh, but Shiva meet us with golem, and I mean Frankenstein monsters, they mean dumb people, right? They mean ignorant people. So what does the Rambam say? Most dumb Jews think that Shekadosh Baruch goes on to be also excited and rushed. When you're born, Hashem makes you a sinner or a saint. Now, keep in mind, when the Rambam says most dumb Jews, he doesn't mean like you know, people in special education programs. He means like the regular Jews that you meet in shul who don't have philosophical background. Right? So basically what the Rambam is saying is that rogue Jews in his days, right? Golem means the 95% of the Jews who don't know philosophy. So what the Rambam is saying is most Jews in his time didn't believe in Mechir Chavshis. That is pretty wild. Now, it might make a lot of sense because they were influenced by their society. In their society, the Asherite Muslims were very, very Haredi. And they didn't believe in Mechir Chavshis. The Mutasalites were like more like philosophical, whatever. And they did believe in Mechir Chavshis. So therefore, most of the Jews said, we want to take the firm approach, and we learned from our Muslim neighbors that the firm approach is to deny Mechir Chavshis because then you're believing Hashem has more power. So most Jews in the Rambam's days didn't believe in Mechir Chavshis. So, and the Rambam says, don't believe the stupid Goyim and don't believe the unlearned Jews that Hashem is Gozer. And as our Kenel, Ka'onim Roel, Yosadik Moshe Rabbeinu, O Roshik, Yiravim, O Chacham, O Sachal, O Rachman, O Zor, Yoshili, O Shuv, Chon, King, Shachar, Kol Adios. Right? Anyone can be a Tzadik or a Rasha or wise or foolish or merciful or cruel or stingy or generous and all the other midos. V'ein lo mishe chafehu v'lo Gozer, lo v'lo mishe mosh lechem she'adrachem. Right, no one pulls you or goes there. Ella who may ask when we die to know till Ezu der Shiyirza. Who shim yo omar mi pl yon losetza rolls vatov, referring to Megillah Seicha, right? Hashem doesn't tell you to do good or bad. Kolomar Einabor goes along the Yotov lo Yos, right? He has a very beautiful shot in these couple of psukim and Eicha here. Chemin Shekenu nims zechot you have sedazato. Since Hashem doesn't make you do good or bad, then it's your own fault for doing sins. Ulafikach roi lo livkos lo konech hatav. You should mourn and cry. Yamash asal nafshul gam labra. Who should go to Achrav? Then that's why the next pasuk in Eicha says, Ma yisonein adam chai. What should a person be sad about? Gevrel chatav on your sins. Because Romer hol v'shus eni biyadam. Hino asinu kol abros. Roi lanu lachzor v'tshuva. And that's why the third pasuk says, you do tshuva. Lazo v'sheinu sh'rashus atav yateinu sh'kaz Achrav. Nachus ad rachinu v'akor v'na shuva l'ashem. Beautiful pshat in Eicha. Gimel. V'dover zeh ikr gadol hu. There's a big ikar who omen ator va mitzvah, and it's a pillar of the whole Torah. Because if you don't have bechira chavshis, then how can we tell you to be frum? Shneem are reino saif menecha yom asachayim, because reino nochin saim lechem ayom kolom asher shos biyedchem. Shem's giving it to us. Chol sheyachzod and last ma'isim neodim osam ein tovim ein rodim neza enya neemar miyisin vayolavam zelhem. That's why Shem says, I wish the Jews would have this inspiration in their heart all the time. Kolomar, why does Hashem have to wish? Kaviyachol, she ain't a bori kofin yadav. Hashem's not going to force us. We'll go to Elayim Lasos Tovar. Ra el akol maser lahem. Interestingly, what did the Rambam say here that's Lav Davka that we just read? Again, this shows you the historical complexity of this. Davar is the Iker Gadol. Is it really an Iker? No, there are 13 Nikarim, and this isn't one of them. So, like, what the Rambam is saying here is, like, you know, when I'm writing Hilchos Tshuva and giving Musar, you know, you should treat this as a very big ikker. Like, in your Musar life, you should take this very seriously. But he never said it's an ikker. He didn't say that most Jews were kofrim. You know, he wasn't willing to say, well, most Jews, and a lot of Talmid Chacham and Astam, all those people who don't believe in Mechir Chavshis are beyond the pale and are out of Judaism. No. He calls it an ikker gadol, le'inyan, how seriously you should take it. But when it comes to halacha, he doesn't count as one of 13 Ikarim, and he's not willing, he's not passeling all the rogue Jews who didn't believe in Mechir Chavshis.
Doesn't the Rambam really tie this right up with Schar Ba'onesh and say, how do you know there's Schar Ba'onesh? How do you know there's Mechir Chavshis? Doesn't make sense for
Schar Ba'onesh to go? Yeah, but everything that logically comes out of an Iker doesn't make it an Iker. Vaharaya, the Rambam's Mefurish, that the second and third Iker come out of each other, yet he counted them separately. And many things can come out of the Ikarim, they don't count as Ikarim. So you're right, it definitely ties into one of the Ikarim, and that's part of that David Berger debate nowadays, but just something ties into an Iker doesn't make it an Iker, otherwise the Rambam wouldn't have to count the second and third. Okay, now, what are the proofs? Elo Ayakel goes along the Yotzadik O'Rasha, Elo Hayasham Davar, Shemoshich Zadim Iker Tolatol Derech Menedrachom Ladim Menemados Olodeyam Menadeos Olamaisim Menamaisim. Right, if Hashem would be Gozer on you, or something would be in your nature that would pull you towards a certain derech or a certain opinion or a certain character trait or a certain action, like they make up hatipshin hover shamayim, the stupid astrologers think that whatever star you're born under, that determines your future. Then, now he starts bringing the proofs. How could Hashem give us all an avim and give us all this musar and tell us what to choose? Not up to us anyway. When you were born, Hashem was Gozer on you, or something in your nature pulled you to do something that you have no choice about. So, what would be the point of the whole Torah and Nevi'im and all the Musar if we had no free choice? So obviously, since Hashem gave us the Torah and gave us the Musar through the Nevi'im, that proves we have free choice. That's one proof. Second proof, he quotes, what would be the fairness of Hashem giving Schar Va'onesh if we had no free will? It wouldn't be our fault. And therefore, Hashem has to be fair. That proves we have free will. Second proof. Hashem kolos liyasa mishpat. Okay. So that's the Rama brings these two proofs. The other Rishonim bring other proofs as well. Like, for example, if you just skip for a second, I apologize for a little skipping, to the last page, in 14, the Rav Sadia Gaon brings lots of proofs that we have free will. If you just look at sort of where I underlined, in 14, well, when we just skim through, if you Omer Acharei Advarim Ha'ila, Hashem doesn't do anything in forcing you to do things. Meri is what he calls Avera. It means rebellion, right? Like Ben Sor and Mora. From what you feel, from what you can logically prove. Kabbalah, remember, in the old days, Kabbalah didn't mean what we call Kabbalah. Kabbalah meant Torah Shem Alpeh. Miderech, what we call Kabbalah, they used to call Sod. That's what someone already mentioned. You sense it, Makar 14, that you sense in your own mind. You can talk or be silent. You can grasp or release. You don't feel anything stopping you. If you use your seichel, you'll be smart. If not, you'll be foolish. Uminha muskal. Okay, we are going to skip the muskal because that's like sort of philosophical arguments based on ancient systems of philosophy. The first one muskal, the rice kvetiyamna va'od. The third va'od is what's the logical tiny yemachrich while Paul loyin nachal anshulav. If Hashem forced you, wouldn't give you skarvonish. Then kosev, he brings all the psukim that say that you should choose things. Nem ashiyish kabal the divrei ever saying. He says at the end of this paragraph, akomidei shemayim chutz miyoshemayim. So we see the Rama or Sadigon and all the Bala Machshava offering all these proofs that we have Bechira Chavshis.
Why didn't the Rav Sadigon call the Hazal HaKol Tzipui Marashis Nesuna? They're right at the time of the Mishnah. They had this.
Right, so that the Rambam definitely interprets this. I mean, pretty much everyone interprets this as being Harishus Nesuna. I mean, Pashup Shat is Harishus Nesuna. You're allowed to do what you want. I guess he maybe thought that Kol B'Nei Shemayim Chutz Miyoshem Shemayim was even better. But you're right, it's the same idea.
I think Rashi though learns that Mishnah differently. No, does he understand it means that Hashem's aware of what you're doing?
No, there's a machlok is what a kol tzofui means. But I think everyone agrees what Harishus Nesuna means. That's. Yeah, Harishus Nesuna, people, you have permission to do what you want. Not permission meaning you're allowed to, permission you're able to. Yeah, hakol tzofui is machlok because it means Hashem sees you doing it or Hashem knows before you did it. But either way, Harishus Nesuna means Harishus Nesuna. That's a good horror. That's another refuge chazal. You could throw it onto the list. Okay, now all we have to do is deal with the problems. So let's start dealing with the challenges. So how about the idea of divine omnipotence? If you hold from free will, how do you get around the problem that Hashem runs the whole world? That Hashem is all-powerful, that Hashem controls everything. If Hashem controls everything, then what do you say? No, Hashem can't control everything, he's too weak. He's limited. I mean, that would be fear, right? Obviously, Hashem is infinite and controls everything. So how can we have free will if Hashem controls everything? You should know that throughout the generations, in other religions, there have been large groups among whom it's very popular to not believe in free will, precisely because they think that being religious means understanding that Hashem is all-powerful and giving all the power to Hashem, and not thinking that you have any power yourself, being mevatel yourself in front of Hashem. So the Ashrite Muslims were, in the end, I mean, there are no Asherites anymore, were very against the free will question, and that's why all the Lutherans and Calvinists, right, all these sort of ancient, not ancient, the older Protestant sects, from the beginning of Protestantism, they all hold that you're born a saint or a sinner, right, you're either saved or damned from when you're born, and Hashem is gozer, who'll be a saint and who'll be a sinner, and if you would go over, I have a friend who tried to argue once, the Lutheran minister, saying, no, what do you mean? We have free will, etc. You know, like God doesn't control what we do. He says, oh, well, I guess you don't believe in a very impressive kind of God, do you? It's like, you can do whatever you want, and he has no say in the matter. So that was a very attractive shita. Okay, well, how do we answer this? How do we deal with this?
Somehow, he took that away from himself.
So there's a Gemara that addresses that. The Gemara says,
so the answer is that Barasa in Torah Talmud.
point.
Okay.
Even though you have one teva created this way.
Correct. Right, but if Eov really meant, no, Hashem is in charge of the whole world and doesn't leave anything to us, then it wouldn't be necessarily valid taina. So I think ultimately the answer is that Hashem is all-powerful, he runs the whole world, but if he's all-powerful, that means he can do whatever he wants. And part of the ability to do whatever you want is to like give it over to someone else to decide, right? If I'm really the king of Grus and I can do whatever I want unquestionably, then I have the right to put Jeremy Barron in charge of something, let him do whatever he wants, right? That's part of being an all-powerful king, that you can appoint a minister or a shliach of some sort and give them power over something. And obviously, an all-wise king would have to have a good reason for doing this. But if Hashem has a good reason, then yeah, you could be all-powerful and delegate. And that's basically what the Rambam says. If you pick up where we left off in the Rambam, which was Halacha Dalei, the sixth line, V'al titma v'tomer v'heyef yada osu kamash yifli v'mas v'sur lo v'yasla lo v'dover shlobish v'skono. Don't ask and say, how can anyone do what they want and have the power of their own actions? Can anything happen without Rishus of Hashem? The lo chefter, or the will of Hashem? Right, if you believe that you can overrule Hashem and that someone has power to go against Hashem, then you're a kofer. Then you don't really believe in God. So the Rambam says, don't ask this question. Why not? Dasha kol kechetsu yaseh. Everything is happening in accordance with Ratzon Hashem. Hashem runs the whole world. The afish masein mitzurim lano, even though it's given over to us, keitzad, how so? Kishem shay yotzer chafiz lusa eishra roch ol mamal v'amayim v'arth yordin l'matav al-gal gal sol v'igol v'chein shar v'yos ha'olam. Lios kem hangin shay chafiz bo. We don't begin the hechitimsis of the outmoded physics, he's saying here. But basically, just like Hashem set up laws of physics, and said, they should run this way, right, the galgal should be this way, and the ish should go up, and the mayim should fall down, and whatever, and the air should circulate. Just like Hashem was goes through these things, and the Ram believes in Teva. Isn't Teva against Hashem? No, Hashem was goes through that he wanted the Teva. So too, and all the Brios, why did dogs bark, and cows moo, and, you know, why is it whatever Hashem says? Because Hashem wanted all the cats, told all the cows they should moo, and all the dogs they should bark, and all the cats they should meow. That's how Hashem wanted to run the world. Hashem wanted people to have free will, because in his divine plan, that was the best way to accomplish something good in the world. Hashem wanted us to have free will. So it's not against Hashem's power. Hashem wanted us. No one forced you or pulled you. Who may ask you to die so? With your own mind that Hashem gave you. Also, call Shalom Yachal Asos. Lefikach, therefore, done us with me myself. Going to the Musar, after all, this is Hilchos Shuvah, not Hilchos philosophy. Therefore, you can judge. If also talking to Tivim Lomi, Yosef Rabbi Rian Lo, who should have you over? Me yet, Chem Haizos Lachem, it's your own fault. Gam Hema Bakru Darchem, you chose it. Opinions that are Shlomo, Smach, Chem Yel Pesach, Veda, Kiel Kol Eloi, Viachol, Kim and Mishvat, Klomer, Dashi, Shviyot, Kekoch, Lassav, also not the Leap in Sadin. Right? Good Musar. If you have free choice, you better be careful, because it'll be your own fault. So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says very Pashat. Yes, Hashem controls everything and runs the world. And the way he used his power is to give it over to us, and he decided he wanted us to have b'chira chashis. That is an expression of Hashem's omnipotence and running the world. The Kuzari even goes a little further. In number three, he has actually a cute musar. He says, all you guys don't believe in b'chira chashis? Right, basically what he say, Frogger, you don't believe in b'chira chashis? Slap you in the face. Don't be mad at me. It wasn't my fault. I didn't have free choice. So, but you're mad at me. So you really do believe in Bechira Chavshis. Stop with your silly shittas. But he has an interesting vort that he deals with this, where I underline, he says, so, things which are free choice, the reason for them is your choice when you choose. But your choice is like a middle, is like an intermediary cause. Your choice, you had free choice, but what caused you to have free choice? Forces that go back to the ultimate cause, which is Hashem. Basically, your choice was caused by Hashem without forcing your hand either way. Because there's such thing as indeterminate things. And your soul is in between doing something in the opposite. Tasma, she wrote to him, does whatever you want. And that's why you can be blamed or praised, etc. Right? He says, the wind comes and makes you cold. You don't get angry at the wind. If your friend slaps you, you get angry. What's he saying? An interesting part here. He says that what you do, everything is really done by Hashem. My free choice is caused by Hashem. He doesn't cause which way I go. What's the point? Hashem gave me the power to make this decision, gave me the ability to make this decision, decide what I want. So whatever I decide really is an expression of Ratzon Hashem. And it really is done by Hashem. Because Hashem gave me that power, right? If I make a whole machine and I give you a lever, you could pull it one way or the other, and I make it go one way if you do to the right, and do the other thing if you go to the left, and I leave it to you to pull the lever, it really is an expression of my power, because I gave you the power to choose one of these two things, and you did it. So the Guzari is just adding a little to the Rambam and saying that the classic answer is that Hashem, what do you call it, he deputized us, gave us the choice as an expression of his ratzon. So everything is happened al pi ratzon Hashem. It was ratzon Hashem that we pick one of these two choices and whichever one we want. It's a pretty poshut answer. However, interestingly, there are two trends in the Bali Machshava that are so bothered by this question. This is the classic defense, right? That were so bothered by the need to see everything coming from Hashem that they weren't willing to accept this answer. One of these is the Chovas Halvavos. If you look at number 4, the Chovas Halvavos, he says, "Ukvar aruchu machlokas acham b'ofani afaka b'na hachkriach v'tzedek." There's a lot of machlokas about how to deal with the stira between Hashem forcing to do everything and Hashem being just, because Hashem is all powerful and controls the world, and it's not fair for him to punish you. Some people say that all human actions go in accordance to the desire of the person. Like the Rambam, the Guzari, Hashem gave it over to you and gave you power. And like most Rishonim, it's not Hashem's fault. That's why it's fair to reward and punish. Some philosophers say, no, everything is caused by Hashem. Anything happens to the world, whether by a person or by a rock, so it's all under control of Hashem and his gzeira. He controls every time I lift my finger. Hair's breath doesn't escape his control. Not more or less. When you ask the anti-Bechira Chavshis people, how is it fair for Hashem to be born and punished? Say, oh, we don't understand these complicated yanim of how reward and punishment works. But don't worry, Hashem's a tzaddik, he doesn't do bad things. And we believe there'll be gmova onesh. Like, what do they say? Yeah, our minds are too weak to understand his chachma, how this makes sense. But it's so obvious Hashem's a tzaddik and Baal Chesed that we shouldn't be choshinim. Ain't a lokum baladav. Okay, so what does he say? Some people say we must have Bechira Chavshis because there's Charva Onesh. Other people say we can't have Bechira Chavshis. Hashem runs the whole world. Every time I lift my finger, Hashem's lifting my finger. I'm like a marionette. He's pulling the strings. What about Charva Onesh? We're not on a madriga to understand how Charva Onesh works out, but trust Hashem. Umehem, Mishra Laham, Mishra Deos. And some people say we should believe both. Hachreach Ve'atzedek, Hashem's fairness, which means Bechira Chavshis, and Hashem's control of everything. They say the problem is if you take either shita, you can't escape chet and michshol. But Omer, what do they say? When we act, we should act as if we believe. When we act, we shouldn't say, I have no bechira chavshis anyway. We should say, no, it's up to me, I got to do it. Give ourselves a pep talk. As if we believe that it's all up to us. We should be afraid of schar v'onesh on them. So we should work hard for everything that will find us favor in the eyes of Hashem in both worlds. Right? So he says, when it comes to your actions, you should say, I have the Bechira Chavshis, it's up to me, it's my responsibility, I'm going to pay the price to get the reward, let me be mezariv myself and give myself musher to do the right thing. But when it comes to bitachon, v'nivtach, what about bitachon? Think about it, if I have schar v'onesh, then you have schar v'onesh, right? So let's say a guy, I'm captured, chas v'shalom, by some kidnappers, and I don't know if they're going to kill me or not. So I'm like, hold on, if I have Bechira Chavshis, he has Bechira Chavshis, so it's up to him whether to kill me or not. So it's not up to Hashem, it's up to his Bechira Chavshis. Hashem doesn't control whether I'll get killed or not. What does it do for bitachon? So that, when you're choosing what you should do, believe in Bechira Chavshis. But when you're worried about what other people are going to do to you, you should have bitachon, Right? Nifta, when we talk to Mishas Baris, looking at Shells called Masvatunus for 12, and Ezek Zeros Hashem Rushus from Amaro, that when it comes to Bitachon, you should say, no, I have the Bitachon, someone believes that all actions and movements and everything good and bad is all up to the Zer of Hashem. Kila Kelly's Baris Tiny Sefer Adam, Hashem has the ultimate tiny against people, and Tanul Adam Kimis Baris, we have no tiny on him. Right? Basically, some people say in the middle, when I'm giving myself Musar and choosing what to do, I should believe in Bechir Chashis. When I'm trying to analyze what happens to me, I shouldn't say, believe in Bechir Chashis. I say, no, everything's from Hashem. Whether this hijacker wants to kill me or not, that's not up to him, it's up to Hashem. And what does he paskin about? This middle day is better than anything previously. Because really, we have to understand that we're too foolish. We're not smart enough to understand the Chacham of Hashem. Our minds are weak. We're not really going to solve this philosophical problem. So since we're not really going to solve this philosophical problem, we might as well deal with it from a Musar perspective. And from a Musar perspective, we should split the difference, even though it's actually impossible. It's not logical, right? But when I'm deciding what to do, I should believe in Mechira Chavshis. And when I'm thinking about what would happen to me, what other people will do to me, I should believe they're all controlled by Hashem. Obviously, that's not logical. But mitzad Musar, that's the best way of Hatzalah. What's ultimately the Chofetz Chaim is saying? You know, in this parak, he's writing much more of a Musar book than a philosophy book. The Chofetz Chaim is saying that I'm not willing to give up on Hashem micromanaging every action in the world. Why is he not willing to just say Hashem gave it over to people? Because what would it ruin if you believe Hashem gave free choice over to people? It would ruin your bitachon, right? So the Chofetz Chaim says bitachon forces him to deny Mechira Chavshis, right? Because of bitachon, I can't believe Mechira Chavshis. Because if there's really Mechira Chavshis, then whether or not my boss fires me is up to my boss. But where's the bitachon then? If it's up to my boss, it's not up to Hashem, right? So bitachon forced me to believe in Mechira Chavshis. But on the other hand, all the proofs, Scarborough is the one he mentions, forces him to, but what about the proofs for Bechira Chavshis? So, what's his answer? Right, basically, it's hard to get out of the proofs for Bechira Chavshis if you're starting with divine omnipotence. So what is his answer? How does he get out of the proofs for Bechira Chavshis? The answer is? Trick question?
He doesn't,
right? The answer is, right? All right. Exactly. Forget philosophy. He says, do Musar. And from a Musar perspective, half the time believe one way, and half the time believe the other way, right? For me, basically, when I am a poel, I believe in Bechira. And when I'm a Nifal, I believe in Hechreach. Which, again, is not philosophically defensible. How can it be that when I'm deciding whether to shoot you, I believe in Bechira Chavshis? When you're deciding whether to shoot me, I believe Hashem controls you. The answer is because we'll do Musar and we won't do philosophy because we're not going to understand this philosophy anyway.
Isn't it very similar to what we saw, I don't remember what side he was on, Milton Leo, in terms of Hashgacha and Teva? That, like, we're supposed to play a game, like, play along the game in this world.
No, but he says we should only believe one side of it. Just other people might believe another side. He was very clear. The Mechel said we should not believe. We should only believe one side of it. It's just that there has to be choice for the other people to fail. Here he's saying we should believe both sides.
You really believe it, or you just have to live your life that way?
Yeah, you have to live your life that way. Okay, could be.
I saw that the Sefer HaKinuch on the Mitzvah Losikom says something similar. Even though the person is attacking you, still you have to view it as everything comes from Shemayim.
Exactly. It's a famous Sefer HaKinuch. The Sefer HaKinuch says, how can you not do the Kama? So if you say everything's from Shemayim, then why am I arguing I'm angry at you? Right? If Hashem sends hailstorm to hit me in the head, would I be angry at the hailstorm? No, that's what Hashem did. So likewise, if Hashem sends you to hit me on the head, I shouldn't be angry at you. Correct. Now, I don't know if he says exactly like this, Chovetz Halvavos or not. I just have one Sarach Ion on the Chovetz Halvavos. Which is, I certainly don't think that I'm cleverer than the Chovetz Halvavos, but I have a big tzarich ion on the Chovetz Halvavos because I think I could have had a better way of getting out of this problem. His problem, now one way of getting out of this problem is just to say, okay, I don't believe in that kind of bitachon. But no, let's assume that you really want to believe that bitachon, everything that happens to you is total zera of Hashem. Right? A reasonable thing to want to believe. So I have a better way of getting out of this problem. Again, I don't really think I have a better way because he was cleverer than I am. But it's a certain thing to me because what I would have said to get out of this problem is there's total bechira chashis. If there's total bechira chashis, how do I bitachon? Very, very simple. There's totally bechira chashis to do whatever, to try to hurt or help someone. But whether or not I succeed is up to Hashem. After all, you never heard of a case where the guy took a gun and used the bechira chashis and decided to shoot you and it jammed? Right? I mean, even if I decide to do something bad, it cannot work. And even if I decide to do something good, it cannot work. Right? There is once a movie about a guy whose boss tried to fire him and it didn't work. He kept getting his paycheck anyway. What was that movie called?
Office
Space. It's a famous movie called Office Space. That's what it was about, right? The guy's boss tried to fire him, and the boss fired him, and he didn't get fired. The computer had a glitch. He kept sending his check, and he came into work every day, and there was nothing anyone could do about it. Okay, so I'm not saying that happens all the time in real life, in exactly that way. And I didn't see the movie personally. But that happens all the time, right? Someone could decide to do something bad to you, but there's bechira chashis for attempted murder. But everyone agrees there's no bechira chashis for succeeding. Everyone agrees. No one ever thought of any philosophy there's bechira chashis to succeed in what you want to do. Everyone knows you need siyata d'shamayim to succeed. There's only bechira chashis to try. So I would have given a simpler answer to Chovos al Vavos. You should believe totally in bechira chashis. What are we talking about? The guy with the gun to your head. Usually he has bechira chashis, whether to pull the trigger. But nonetheless, Hashem wants to save you. He'll make it jam if he pulled the trigger. And if Hashem, chas v'shalom, if Hashem wants to kill you, he'll make the gun discharge even if he didn't pull the trigger. Right? He'll make him slip and then the gun will discharge anyway.
That's what you consider the Protestant guy also.
Correct. But he was more like Meshulach. Anyway, so this is my tzarech ian on the... I've never solved this tzarech ian on the Chovos al Vavos, meaning I understand his problem. I could think of a better solution. Why didn't he think of a better solution? Mestama, he had a reason. But that's a tzarechim.
Maybe the reason why he didn't choose that solution was because then he would have to open up a whole new discussion of when a person tries to do an avera or a mitzvah, and even though he has bechira, still he might not get that avera.
Yeah, but on two makor sheets ago, he already dealt with that discussion and was comfortable with it. On two makor sheets ago, when he dealt with going to work and, you know, whether you try to like make money in an anti-halachic, in an usher way, he had no problem saying that. Well, Hashem decides whether you succeed and you get punished or rewarded for trying.
That's in terms of punishment. Here we're talking about in terms of mitzvahs v'averos.
Okay, but I could be. Anyway, okay, that's my, you know, I don't want to be clever in the Chovos al Vavos, but I might have solved this problem a different way and rescued bechira chashis and just said you should be tachon because whatever guys decide to do to you, or whatever you decide to do, Hashem will make it succeed or not succeed, no matter what you decide, which is really nice. People try to do bad things and they don't succeed, or try to do good things and don't succeed. Or don't try to do something and it happens by accident. So, okay, that's my sort of Eno Chovos al Vavos.
Don't we say also, I've heard said that it might not be this person, meaning it's going to happen to you, this person's going to do it to you, that's his Bechir Chavshis.
Correct, exactly. I mean, yeah, Hagal uses Bechir Chavshis to hurt you, but if Hashem wanted him to do it, if wanted you to suffer, then he'll use Bechir Hashem and not Hashem will send someone else. And if Hashem doesn't want you to suffer, then he'll make it not work. Exactly. So, okay, that's C. I'm not going to go into this now, but the third shot is just that, everyone knows a little bit about Meshiloach. We'll come back, Amir Tzashem, next time, just because I don't want to go past 9:45. We'll come back next time to the Meshiloach, but our plan is next time is to see. There are three shitas about how to reconcile Hashem's koach with bechira chashis. The mainstream shita is Hashem gave you over the koach. Chovos al Vavos is worried about bitachon. I think I had a different way to get out of it, but he gets out of it by saying, give up on philosophy and just al pi musar, live a bifurcated life. C is the Meshiloach, who really takes it a step further. So we will finish up with this Amir Tzashem next time and then get to the other issues.
What does
Mufashim
say about the Mishnah that in Pirkei Avos that says, Apu Rog Golgolah should self up man and mind. The whole story with the Sivas and the Suvas. So it looks like that everything is in a situation where one causes the next, causes the next.
Well, the Chovos al Vavos understands what he says. He says, yeah, when it comes to Bitachon, we believe that Hashem makes everything happen. What about the mainstream Jewish philosophers? Maybe they'll say what I said, which is Al Datev Atbos. They use their Bechira Chavshis. That's the Sofa Tai Fayef Yitufot. They use their Bechira Chavshis. It doesn't mean Hashem made them. I mean, this is what people actually do say. just not about that Mishnah, but about parallel cases. It doesn't mean Hashem made them do that to you because Hashem wanted to punish you. It means that Hashem made you get this punishment somehow. They chose to do it fine. If not, someone else will choose to do it, and if not, you'll drown by accident. So it's not, you know, it's just that Hashem, you know, so I think they would say basically what I was trying to say, which is that everyone has Bechir Chavshis what to get involved in, but in the end, the same result will happen. Mm-hmm. So that's not so crazy. And if you hadn't deserved drowning, then they would have tried to drown you and not succeeded. Right? Some Chalion people throw people into the river and they don't get drowned. Mm-hmm. All right. No.
But that's what I understand. If a person's Ratzon Hara is what causes Avera, and a person in fact has a real Ratzon Hara, or a person in fact has a real Ratzon Hara, so isn't it a problem within Schar Va'onesh to say that I'm trying to be pulled in a certain direction and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not letting me? You know, if I assume that really my Bechira is all, you know, that I can reach whatever ends I want, so then what happens, how do you explain what happens in the middle that prevents the Avera or the Mitzvah from coming to fruition?
No! That's ridiculous. No one thinks Bechira is to reach what ends you want. Does any normal person think Bechira means, do I have Bechira Chavshis to kill you? No, that's ridiculous. I have Bechira Chavshis and I can try to kill you. But everyone did. No one thinks I have Bechira Chavshis. I mean, to then, in himself, do I have Bechira Chavshis to kill the president? Mm. Right? Of the United States? No, he's a big security detail. I could try. The odds are 999-1 against me. People have done it in history.
But
I have Bechira Chavshis to try.
You can't reach
do I have Bechira Chavshis to rob the bank? No, I might get caught by the security system. I have Bechira Chavshis to try.
So basically, you can't reach whatever amount of mitzvahs and averus you want. The only way you can get the mitzvahs and averus is if you scheme on makom ayat.
Right, your Bechira Chavshis is to try. But that's all anyone asked. All anyone asked for you to try, I'm going to leave a buddy, right? The choshev lachas mitzvah, and you didn't do it, you get schar. All my Bechira Chavshis to try. Of course, that the Gemara says, anyone who tries to do a mitzvah, the other story says, anyone who tries to do a mitzvah and is nenas and doesn't do it, gets schar.
Right.
Because they tried, they were nenas. I mean, that's perfectly reasonable.
So you're saying that really the Schar Va'onesh is not on the Maisa before, well, it's on the Ratzon to the Maisa.
Right. Now, I'm not necessarily committing myself to that, but I think that, you know, that's the simplest level. There may be another level of Schar for the Maisa, but clearly there's Schar Va'onesh even for Machshava. Okay, it's an interesting question. Maybe for Jews, if it's not a Avodah Zarah, maybe Hashem gives you a little chetzin and lets you off on the Machshava. Mm-hmm. Even that's not so pashut. Well, not so crazy. No.